Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
That's probably a script, isn't there?
Yeah, I've just realised
it. I can't see it.
Sorry, we're late, ladies and gentlemen. This is owing to Harriet moving house for the third time in a year?
I've no idea.
She's the nomad of West London, basically.
Yeah.
She has a little tent.
She lives in a caravan.
Yeah, she packs up all her children, folds them all up in her little tent.
Catches the ponies,
and off she goes.
Yeah.
To the next house. So she should be back at home, I think, in... Did she say July? She's back sorted. So this week is, I think she's moving house twice this week.
Oh, God.
And then...
I can't imagine anything worse.
I know. It makes me feel slightly...
Yes,
tense and panicky. Yeah.
Queasy.
And we're adventurous souls, aren't we?
Yeah.
Anyway, so she has a note from her mum, so he's excused.
Yeah.
And Jeffy is stepping into the breach with a stinking cold, having travelled for 12 hours yesterday.
12 hours door to door, it was.
12 hours, yeah. So,
thank you, Transport for Wales. Much appreciated. Also, Birmingham Airport Immigration. Great job.
Should it be Transport Against Wales, do you think? That's probably
yes.
Transport Despite Wales. And me, I'm fine. Thank you for asking. Yes. Right, so can you do the bit?
I can, I can't see it.
But you know what to say.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ambridge on the couch. Without further ado, let's find out what's happened this week in Ambridge. How was that?
It's pretty near enough.
Good.
We began the week in a somewhat tense situation at the vets, where once again Alistair and Denise were being tight-lipped over a dead cat or something. Her boring husband is back, and that apparently required more tight-lippiness than normal. I was thinking, oh God, this is all a bit grey and angsty. Lovely Laura arrived, captain of Little Croxley Cricket, who sounded engaging and open and confident and hot to trot with Alistair and cheered me right up. Alistair brightened up like a parched flower getting its first blast from a sprinkler. Could we possibly get rid of Denise and have Laura instead? Edge suddenly seemed to be on very intimate terms. If he was chaffing Alistair about Laura, the most I've ever heard him say to Alistair is, how much will that be? Blimey. But there he was, nudging him away like Eric Idle. Eh? Eh? Denise went a bit chilly, and I'm not quite sure why, bearing in mind she's still married. Unless she's uneasy that she might chuck John and then find that Alistair's gone off with lovely Laura.
Yeah.
But surely, though, she's leaving John because he likes his bike more than her. If she isn't, she's a Wally. Ed was having... Well, I was going to say second thoughts, but I think it's possibly a first thought about the tree surgery and that it might not be as much light-hearted fun as he thought it was going to be. What with dangling from a branch with a buzzing chainsaw 2 inches from his crotch. Anyway, Fallon managed to rally him through the medium of a bonsai tree in a stirring chat. She described the tree surgery venture as brave. If someone describes the outfit you're wearing as brave, take it off. And if you've just ordered food and they say brave choice, cancel it immediately. Henry did Thai green curry in food tech. To be honest, I wouldn't fancy eating a Thai green curry that had been schlepped home in a bus for an hour nestling to a 12-year-old's cross-country kit. But God knows what the alternative is at Beechwood, so Henry was probably happy to scoff the lot, Tupperware condensation and all. Brave. I am quite impressed, though. Then we did food tech. It was called domestic science, and the only thing we focused on was meals on a budget. Everything involved lentils. Everything. Me and my friend Sarah Peasland got told off as in a fit of rebellion. We wrote pate de foie gras and 2 hen lobsters on our ingredients list and got sent out. Helen reacted to Henry wanting to join the cricket team as if he'd suggested joining the IRA. He appeared to enjoy it, capering about the pitch with harassment until Helen arrived and started shouting, "Has he been completely awful? I bet he has." Poor Henry. The only person that Helen does not seem to... The only person that Helen does seem to approve of is Joy. Joy went to Helen's for picky tea, which was vegetable crisps, olives and some dips. The thing is, what you need for picky tea, or Boxing Day tea in my house it's called, is sausage rolls, which seemed markedly lacking, but I can't imagine Helen is much into sausage rolls, or indeed sausage. Helen said she wasn't sure why she hadn't had a girls' holiday for years. I think it's probably because she just keeps pissing off all the girls she knows, and she only actually knows Krusty, whose idea of a holiday would be going to a Nepalese village and watching them weave. Poor Dr. Malik. Not only is her surgery permanently infested with group visits, but she now thinks the whole of Beechwood lives in one house. Joy greeted her and practically asked to have a quick squiz at Helen's medical records. She got out of there swiftly, pausing only to back over Jack on his skateboard. Things were not going very well at the Nest. It's now got to the stage where I was actually glad Alice had had a drink just to get wet away from the constant ragged breathing and tremulous voice. No. As Auntie Lillian said, "What's your secret, darling?" I think we all know the answer to that.
It's the same as Lillian's secret.
Do you know what? I don't even care anymore.
No.
Alistair decided for us that we weren't going to have any more of lovely Laura by going on an excruciating date with her. She was charitable and gave him about half an hour longer than I would have done, so he went off to see Denise, who appeared to be holding a dance fit class in a pigeon loft. She did her Barbara Windsor laugh, and then they both had a bit of a snog, which apparently caused Alistair to burst out of his shirt. Anyway, they ended on a first for radio drama, the immortal line, "And now we have to go out there and dance."
Yes.
Which will thrill Harriet. So I hope she was listening. The end.
Let's do the show right here.
Jazz hands. Yes.
What a week. Good Lord, where to start?
Well, where to start? That was the most awful date I've ever heard. And I was...
Perhaps the fabric on the benches was really nice.
The thing is, even if you were
bonquette,
just...
Even
if you would fancy a bonquette, no thanks, I've just met you. But that's Victoria Wood. The thing is, even if you were just going out for a drink with a friend, you'd try harder than Alistair did.
It really annoyed me.
What, because really he was rude? I think he was rude.
He was.
He was rude, distracted. If you can't think of anything interesting to say yourself, you say, "Tell me all about you."
Yeah. No, well, I think he was. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the two. What's her name? Julie, Rachel,
Laura,
Dave, Laura. To Laura, it must indeed have seemed rude. I think Alistair was. Sorry, I'll stop bumping the table. Yeah. I think Alistair was punishing himself for essentially for cheating on Denise,
who's married.
It's incredibly infuriating. Even if his end goal is to get Denise,
yeah,
then that's not the way to go about it.
No.
He should have gone on the date, thoroughly enjoyed himself, had a fantastic time, and then seen how long it took Denise to get round to his house tomorrow morning to find out what had been going on and to say, "Oh, by the way, I think I might have decided I'm leaving John."
Yeah.
And, he's handing it to her on a plate and she can take as long as she likes or not to make decisions about where it goes next.
Gay Greybell on Twitter said something. She said, "Is Denise a push me pull you?" Which I think is an excellent description of somebody that does that, that when you cool off, they heat up.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then when they...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah.
And actually,
I don't think she is. I think it's
most
her
people are like that.
I think it's her situation, and I think that she should crack on with it, you know, with talking to John. And I know it's difficult because he's had a bereavement and blah, 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 blah. But what is that on the sofa?
It's Cooper.
No.
It's your dog.
No, the black and yellow thing.
It's my monopod.
Oh.
Viewers, it's my monopod. Viewers, listeners.
If only they were viewers, then they'd know what you were bloody talking about.
Yep.
But yes, she's too... is she... I don't think she's... She's not... hesitant. She just wants everything to be right, and it isn't going to be right. You've just got to do it, I think.
I wouldn't be quite that generous to her, I don't think. I think she's safe where she is. Changing anything is risky because, you know, who knows how it's going to end up. The divorce could go sour. Things with Alistair could go sour, and then she could find herself completely on her own.
Yeah.
So I think unless she's actually essentially forced into it in a, you know, I don't mean forced into it, but unless she's encouraged into it, she'd let things ride as long as she possibly could.
Yeah.
Because as long as Alistair's hanging on like a, you know, lovesick puppy, she doesn't have to do anything, and so she won't.
What do you think? What was happening with his shirt?
Well, I guess it was more than just a bit of a snog.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I stopped listening at that point, clearly, because I just can't. But I suspect that, you know, clothing was starting to be removed.
Oh.
And that would explain why Joy then asked Alistair if he'd run to get there. Because he was, you know, they were getting physically, they were getting physically active.
I see.
Backstage,
In the pigeon loft.
In the, yes, very. This Lucy pointed this out, and then when I heard it myself, it was there were several times this week where people were talking to each other from apparently entirely different.
One person was inside, other people were outside.
At the cricket, Joy was. Joy was in a church, apparently, talking to...
Helen, who was on a field.
Yes, Helen, who was outside at the cricket.
Yeah.
Very peculiar. Yeah. And then, I suppose the idea was, where was the... I don't even know what sort of... Was it Zumba or something?
Yeah, dance fit.
Dance fit, that's it, yeah. So I suppose they can't say Zumba, can they?
No.
Other dance exercises are available. I suppose they were supposed to be moving around. Was it the church hall?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were moving around in the church hall, I suppose. But it just, it was extremely confusing.
Mm.
The whole reverb fluctuation. Very, very peculiar. Far easier just to have a little bit of reverb on everything.
I still think Henry is ace.
Yes, he is.
I know you hated the cricket.
It was just the end. Can we start a petition or something to stop the Archers doing bants, because it's just
no. The Archers is built on cringy bants.
Yeah, that was awful.
Okay, which bit was awful?
All of it. Any of the cricket related bants just dreadful.
Oh right. Oh, harassment and that.
Harassment and Ed and Alistair and I've forgotten her name again.
Laura,
thank you. Why can't I remember her name? Then Henry and Helen, though, as you said in your thing, she's like, was he the worst player you've ever seen in your life? Is he completely hopeless? Is he? Should we discourage him from ever?
He's a little turd. Let's just shoot him.
What the hell?
I've got friends like that who go so far to not look like they're indulgent of their children, that they're actually kind of far ruder about them than they need to be. It's a really odd thing, but it does happen. In fact, I've got someone I know has three children, all of whom are incredibly nice children, and they'd been to stay at someone's house, on a play date, all three, and she came to pick them up, and as she was leaving, they stood on the doorstep, and she said to the three children, "What do you say? What do you say to Nicholas's mum?" And they all turned around and went, "Sorry."
We're not quite sure what for. Yeah. There's bound to be something.
And the mum said, no, say thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
They'll discover the sorry later after they've gone.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know what that whole cricket thing was supposed to be signifying, whether it was...
I've got a horrible feeling it was... Fallon, I really enjoyed torching little Henry.
Yeah, and there was definitely of that, wasn't
when
there?
I saw them together, I realised that I really hope not.
No, it was, there was definitely a whiff of that about it. There was, yeah.
They're all on the
Harrison
green.
Having a lovely Harrison, time with a little boy, so to speak.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's not open that. We've already got one traumatic storyline opening up again.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about the traumatic storyline that's opening up?
Let's not.
I know we don't want
no,
to.
No, let's not. No, let's no. just... Anyway, la, so, la, so la, that was la. It.
Nothing else happened. No.
Thanks so much. And we'll see you next week. there is a thing... I was reading this week. There's a thing called being a dry drunk.
Mm.
You may know what that is. I didn't. There's a thing called a dry drunk where, and there's the difference between being an alcoholic in remission and an alcoholic in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I think same thing goes for drugs. And Alice is definitely not in recovery.
No.
And I think she is a dry drunk in that the issues that caused her to drink to excess in the first place have not been dealt with.
No.
She hasn't put any of it behind her.
No.
She has just managed by sheer willpower, basically, to keep herself dry for the last couple of years. And I think the whole thing with Harry... has been, because she has had so many opportunities to drop it and walk away.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, to be fair to her, he has not helped.
No.
Because she has told him on several occasions,
in,
you know, fairly clear terms, to hop it and to leave her alone. And he keeps, I could bloody strangle him. And look, I know I'm not supposed to be here, but I just wanted to come and say thank you. I'm going to go to treatment. Yeah. You know, and I just think, just leave her alone, man.
No, it's the selfishness thing.
But nonetheless, Alice has made poor decisions all the way down the line.
Yeah.
And I think she has done it subconsciously at least to get back to where she is now so that she can...
She's got an excuse.
She hardly looked back, did she?
No,
she went straight to the cupboard, took the bottle out.
And she shouldn't even have a bottle in the house.
No,
she's serious,
no. Well, right, exactly. The fact that the bottle was there in the first place was evidence that she'd been thinking about this for a while.
Unless it was, you know... A nice drink of orange juice she was having.
It wasn't. And actually, if it had been that, then, when frankly, the scriptwriters ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
That would be a dreadful red herring.
Yeah. Philip Bailey agrees with you and says, I heard some, turned into Thursday's episode for more quivering voice, Alice, anxious Ed, tuned out again, same old, same old. Silence, the clink of a glass, the gurgle of a drink. Chilling, I felt sick. Wish life was just about Winifred and her sodic bonsai tree. P.S. Helen and her constant chiding of Henry is making me scream.
Yes.
The awful, was he giving back chat comment to Fallon literally produced an audible, oh, for fuck's sake, from me, which, considering I was wearing headphones while making toast, came as a somewhat surprise to my family sat at the table just behind me. Yes, I know. And Vicky Horton-Turner said, I bloody knew we'd have to pay for last week's jollities. Poor Alice.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, poor Alice. She's got a disease and it's once again getting the better of her.
Yeah.
I
think it's partly because... I think maybe it was the sex with Harry that triggered it, because that was an impulsive decision that she hadn't thought, she didn't realize it, because part of the being in recovery thing is total control. At first is total control of everything. Nothing, you can't have anything unexpected, because that could be a,
I can understand,
you know,
that.
It's like when people go on crazy mad diets and they're like, right, I'm going to measure out every single one of my foods, and I'm never going to eat anything. I can't ever go out. I can't. It's like when people stop smoking as well. It's fine. I'll just never, ever go out, look at or sit near anyone that has ever smoked or blah, 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 blah. And for like 3 months, people convince themselves this is fine. And it clearly is that at some point you have to...
Yeah, that's remission, incorporate, not recovery.
Yeah, you have to incorporate real life back in
and
deal with that, because that's what you're going to have to deal with. And I think the sex with Harry thing kind of triggered this sort of rush back into that panic of things are out of control, so the way I can control them is through drinking.
I mean, it's a metaphor for the Archer family and the Aldridge family, and none of them ever actually deal with anything.
No.
None of them ever actually deals. That's one of my grammatical bugbears there. None of them ever actually deals with anything at all.
Yeah.
They just get it in the rearview mirror as quickly as they can and try and forget about it.
And so, put a lot of money and gloss on it as if it's all fine. And then,
so I fear on that basis that Alice is never, ever, ever... And actually, I mean, the fact that they have... First of all, that they've kept this storyline going so long...
Mm.
And secondly, that they have now brought it to the boil again for a second time really makes... And the fact that, you know, nobody ever actually learns anything or moves forward in the Archers makes me think that this is going to end very badly and quite quickly for Alice.
I think it'll involve Martha. I think she'll lose custody of Martha.
Yeah, I mean, I would say even worse than that.
No.
I mean, she will lose custody of Martha, but not in the way you're thinking.
No, you don't think... No.
They have to resolve this storyline somehow, and then how else do you resolve it?
Yeah. No, nothing. I can't have anything happening to Martha. I know she's only a sound effect, but, you know, no. No, I'm not letting that even rest. No.
I mean, I didn't actually mean happening to Martha. I meant happening to Alice.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, then she'd lose custody of, you know, when she drives into a lamppost at 60 miles an hour, she'll lose custody of Martha by
not being there
the next morning, you know.
Sloane Garrett in Canada says...
Hello, Sloane.
Many listeners were put off by Brian and Miranda's post-coital scene, but you can't tell me that Alice and Harry's wasn't worse. How libidinous could she be to call him back into the house? Was it a pity shag? Her intense post-deed regret seems to point that way. Or maybe it was him sweating out the dregs of his last binge as they did it that bothered her. I mean, where's the allure? Boozers of Harry's magnitude don't look fit at the best of times, but Alice seems to put on her rosé-tinted glasses when he's around. I'd have more respect for her if she managed her urges responsibly by hiring a nice professional escort for a sober boyfriend experience. But then Alice would probably try to rescue him from sex work.
On the subject of it, Rory's at a bit of a loose end at the moment.
He is. Yes, but that's her stepbrother?
Oh, stepbrother.
Ooh. No. Why is Laurie shouting, "I told you so"? Ah, yes. This has just come in.
Which Laurie?
Laurie Jones.
Hello, Laurie.
I've known from the get-go that Alice had another relapse in her. Her first try was too easy, too seemingly successful for her first try. It almost never works that way.
Really?
Her next try might work, and I know that listeners don't want to go through this again, but all I can say is welcome to the world of addict loved ones.
Well, yeah, that's what I... Yep. And that's why I think what I think is because I'm not sure the scriptwriters can... I mean, you're looking at another 2 years of the same. Yeah. And I'm just not sure they're going to give up that kind of script time to the same issue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't know what Laurie's just said about, you know, the first attempt and so on and so forth, but it doesn't surprise me at all.
It normally takes 3 or 4.
Right. So, you know, we've talked about this. It's sad. It's tragic. It's awful in every conceivable way. It could happen to anybody, you know. It is a disease. I really, really don't want to listen to another 2 years of it.
No.
Team lamppost. Hashtag team lamppost.
That is a horrible, horrible hashtag.
Let's see if we can get it trending. Come on, everybody. Team lamppost.
Well, Rev Jules is with you. She's just described as a slow motion car crash.
Well, there we are.
Just when you thought Alice might have squeaked out of danger, she hadn't. According to the episode synopsis, she got the bottle of booze from a cupboard. What on earth was she thinking of having it in the house? It doesn't make you a better person morally, deliberately to keep something by you that tempts you to self-harm. That almost made me more frustrated than the idea she'd bought it on the way back from her encounter with Eve. I'm generally not one for making predictions, but this time I foresee an impending disaster involving Martha.
There we go.
There have been too many comments about how wonderful she is and what a great job Alice is doing as a mum.
Oh, yeah. That's really been laid on thick this week. Lillian's been...
She said she's not really a single parent. Chris is a devoted father. And it will be grim. I really hope I'm wrong. On the other hand, Joy. Great to have her back.
It isn't it? God, I love Joy. My favourite bit this week... was her telling... it was her telling... I can't remember the doctor's
Azra.
Name. Azra. Why can I never remember? So no. Laura and Azra, right. No. Telling Azra that some of her new neighbours might be a little bit...
Eccentric.
And I thought, good Lord, if Joy thinks they're eccentric, then... And also the fact that she just carries sausage rolls around with her. Yeah. Just in case.
I was just walking past and I thought, wonder if they want one of my sausage rolls.
I love Joy and I really hope that she just gets to stay like this forever and ever and ever. And
yes.
And all the theories about, which I subscribe to, about Rochelle are complete red herrings and she's just a lovely lady having a lovely time for her entire life.
Full of sausage rolls.
Exactly. And bringing Joy into everybody else's life
and a
everywhere
massive,
she goes.
Hairy Geordie bobbing in the hot tub. Oh, no, he's not Geordie, is he?
No, he's not. But that was a bit, I was a bit confused this week with that whole thing because I hadn't noticed him. Well, no, I had noticed him being funny, but not with Joy. When he went for his interview,
he
was kind of aggressively cheerful.
Yeah.
He was almost cutting off the ends of people's sentences.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Yeah.
Odd. I wondered what the hell was going on. It turned out he was just having an interview. But I hadn't noticed him being funny with Joy. So
we didn't hear that. We haven't heard them together.
No. Well, right. So I didn't. Okay. So that's happened off camera, so to speak. All right.
So she's just saying that he's being mysterious.
Okay. And he's being mysterious about the fact that he's applying for a job locally.
That he's got a job locally and that therefore he can move in with her. But I am still unclear as to whether or not she's actually invited him to move in with her.
I don't think she has. I mean, they seem to have... She gave the impression they discussed it.
But then, surely, he's a nice chap and he's got enough nous to know that, you know... To discuss it with her rather than just assume. Because what is this big surprise he's on about? Is the surprise? Have I got this wrong? Is the surprise that he's going to live with her or not?
I don't know what else it could be. I mean, this is what's confused me about the whole thing. It doesn't quite add up yet.
No.
So perhaps there's a missing piece.
Yes.
But I'm not complaining, to be honest with you. There's Joy's in the show. So, you know, I'm happy whatever she's up to.
Yeah.
And whatever Mick's doing. And even if they were kissing in the hot tub, I'd be all right with that.
You wouldn't, because you'd still hate it.
No, I'd let... For Joy, she can do anything she likes.
Oh, in the hot tub.
In the hot tub or out the hot tub. Whatever.
Well,
she could eat sausage rolls in the hot tub. Get a little bit of pastry in the hot tub, and I wouldn't even bat an eyelid.
We recorded for our Patreons. We are doing... they sent in questions that they wanted us to answer about us and about... sort of like designed specifically for us, and it wasn't necessarily about the Archers. But one of the questions was about, I can't even remember what it was, how we got onto it, but it involved Joy in a gimp mask.
No, somebody else was in a gimp mask, I think. I don't think Joy was.
No, it was you were in the gimp mask, and Joy was talking to you, and Jeff completely lost it for about 15 minutes. So, yes, that's going to require some editing. Anyway. But Rev Jules says she is reveling in my Providential Lady's Diary.
Oh, it's very good. Not that I get to read it, obviously.
No, you don't.
I'm
You're
on Patreon.
Patreon no.
I got a sneak preview of the first couple of days, but since then, nada, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing. I'm going to have to pony up like everybody else, it seems.
No, I just can't work out how to do it. Anyway, now. This is from Jenny and... Who is this from? This is from Anne.
Hello, Anne.
Who says... I am always bemused by the ad choices that Acast think will match your listeners. Today's highlight was a public service broadcast aimed at young drivers urging them to wear seatbelts. Now, I don't mean to be rude, but from what I gather, your demographic is less down with the kids and more, yes. I've got down, but I need to get a hand back up again. So I have no idea why this ad was chosen. Other recent ones include a regionally specific one for an outlet mall in Carlisle, I live in the home counties, and one for the postcode lottery, in which a man apparently only knew he'd become a father because someone rang him up. Anyway, I really wanted to let you know how much I look forward every week to your show.
Aww.
Thank you very much, Anne. We know nothing. I don't know anything about the. I only find out what the adverts have been when I read the report at the end of the month. But how they get divvied up and
they're assigned personally.
Right.
Based on algorithms and stuff.
Right.
And I think if you habitually disguise yourself online, so if you use incognito mode in Google or use a secure browser, for instance, and you don't go on social media and so on and so forth, then the sort of the data that they can harvest from you is quite limited. And so you will get then... adverts. Rather than not send you anything, they'll just hit it and hope, essentially, and send you adverts for just about anything, which is how I think, by and large, you should. The idea is that you should get adverts that are
matched to you,
that are exactly targeted.
But if you are a bit,
but if you're not easily targeted,
if you are
then
like mysterious
whatever.
Mick, exactly, then you don't.
Exactly, but yeah, so we, everybody, in principle, I think everybody will get different adverts depending on their online mores.
You know, everybody's been driven mad by Harry continually using Alice's name. In fact, everybody using everybody's name. Alice, darling, are you okay? Hello, Auntie Lillian.
I'm fine with this because it was an absolute godsend for me when I first started
listening. Well, it's designed for people like you, but it just shouldn't be quite as...
For people like me?
Yeah.
The thickos.
Slightly slow.
people who are a bit hard of thinking.
Medically thick. But they... it shouldn't be quite as clunky as it is sometimes. But Leslie said, have you ever noticed when you encounter someone you know vaguely but cannot for the life of you remember what they're called, they say your name about five times in every sentence. Yeah. Even worse, if you're with someone else and ought to introduce them. Yeah. That happens quite a lot with... when I'm out with you in the village and we meet someone and I'm thinking, oh God, I really, really, I'm going through, there's like this Rolodex, basically mostly empty in my head and I'm trying to feverishly rattle through it, hoping that something's going
to... It happens to me a lot in, although I live in the Netherlands and my contract's in the Netherlands and I work at home in the Netherlands, my department, my organisation is in Munich. And I've been around a really, really long time. So I've worked where I work in a roundabout sort of a way for 33 years now, nearly. And so everybody knows me and everybody knows who I am and what I look like. Because I'm also, you know, I'm not a shrinking... I do stand out in the crowd a bit.
You do,
you know.
Yes.
And so almost invariably, when I go to Munich on a business trip to visit, people there are greeting me like long lost friends.
And you've got
and
no
I'm
idea
thinking,
who they are.
Well, I wonder who you are. Hopefully, somebody else will use
nice.
Your. Somebody will use your name, and it'll be somebody that I've had something to do with, you know, 10 years ago.
How lovely to see you! Would you mind introducing yourself to that lady over there, just
exactly,
so I can listen?
Completely
Thank
forgotten.
You.
But that's the problem, of course, is when you're they get a chance to see you coming, whereas you don't.
Yeah. And you just have to go, hi, you.
Yeah.
Hey.
Punch him on the arm. You know.
Big man, or, you know. It's quite difficult to do that with women, though, as a bloke, isn't it? You can't go, You know, you can do that. Blokes can do that more with other blokes, but you couldn't do that.
Oh, no. And of course, you can just call each other mate and pal and, you know. But you can't,
no.
You know.
Hello, lady.
Hello, exactly. Or do a, all right, love. You know, you can't, you just simply
Cocker.
Can't. You can't
bring do, Cocker. Introduce Cocker, Cocker to Munich.
That'd but isn't good. That, isn't that, surely that's not a unisex greeting, Cocker, is it? Is
don't
it?
Know.
It sounds like it shouldn't be, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
So I need to come up with something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or actually, at my age, to be honest with you, I don't lose a lot of sleep over it. So I don't need to come up with anything. I just need.
Well, nowadays you can just go, "Hello, I'm very old. I can't remember who you are. The memory's going. Yeah. It's, you know."
All I need to do is continue to shed my shame at the rate at which it's currently going, and I won't care at all in about 3 years' time.
Steve Parrott is concerned that Alice may be pregnant. He said, I really hope we aren't going to go down the well-travelled soap plant path of a 20-minute bonk. Although, knowing Henry, it would probably have been only a 2-minute ride before being thrown off, leading to a pregnancy. If so, I'm going to have a word with my local council to send their recycling operatives to the Archer's writing room. Steve, pregnancy isn't dependent on how long it takes, love. just to clarify. But yes, no, I don't. They can't throw that into the mix, surely, to
no,
God.
No, really. That really would be.
No. And we do have to move on from the idea. It isn't the 17th century. This isn't Thomas Hardy. And people are now allowed to have sex without getting pregnant. It is allowed and it does happen.
What?
Yes. No, I have
to. This is the first I've heard of this, Lucy. This changes everything.
I've got a bit of explaining to do. Now, Louise Evans says that she...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
He's been avoiding actors' images. She said, "I was horrified when I found out Lillian's actress is blonde and voluptuous. In my head, she looks a bit like Leslie Joseph."
Really? I'd always seen her sort of blonde silver.
Yeah, well, in my mind, twice. She looks okay. Like... There goes another bit of shame.
Yeah.
I think she does look like Sunny Ormond, who plays her.
I've always imagined Lillian as looking a bit like Mary Berry.
Really? No, yeah. She's too skinny and spiky. Mary Berry.
What can I tell you?
She said, can Louise have a shout out to Paula in Borden, please? My only friend who listens to The Archers and who I've desperately tried to get listening to the podcast as well so I can talk about it to someone.
What up, Paula in Borden?
Yes.
I can only say that I agree very much.
That you should listen to the podcast.
That you should listen to the podcast, yes. Yeah. It's excellent. It truly is.
Obviously, wouldn't take Louise's advice on anything else.
No,
but maybe
on this,
she's
absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's an excellent podcast.
I just have an idea. You could try Homie as a when you
Homie.
Meeting women that you
What up Homes?
What up Homes? You could say when you're meeting women that you can't remember who they are.
I could pretend to be a road man.
Yeah.
And Wagwan Mandem or something. Is that unisex?
It's
Mandem?
Just gibberish. I don't know about unisex, but
Wagwan Mandem.
Yeah, no,
oh,
I don't
no,
think
maybe
so.
Not.
Especially not in Munich. It would take you about 3 days to then explain what you've just said, by which time the discussion would have moved
yes,
on.
Yes, translated into Bavarian.
Yeah. No. Ooh, Kate Lloyd-Jones says too much sexiness.
Too much sexiness.
Alice and Harry, the podcast summary said a hug ended up with them in bed. But given he was looking for his socks by the wood burner, I don't think they got that far. Oh, I think they did get that far.
Hang on, what? So the socks by the wood burner mean...
Is
that a contraceptive method, putting your socks by the wood burner? It's okay, you can't get pregnant.
If you put
I put my socks by the wood burner.
That's the second myth that I just made. That doesn't work either, people.
I'm finding out lots today.
Blimey, O'Reilly. Yes, surely the only reason everyone is saying Fallon's pregnant is because they keep having sex just after they've had really clunky discussions about not having children following Harry's faux pas when it's not been mentioned for years. Why would they bother reminding us about that if there weren't going to be a dilemma resulting? Hopefully we would have that rather lazy plot development. Woman changes. Probably, hopefully we won't have that rather lazy plot development. Woman changes her mind and loves being a mother, really. Exactly. That's the bit I don't want. And she said, sorry, no one can persuade me that Alistair is a 62-year-old silver fox. Oh, yes, he is.
Well, he wasn't showing it this week.
No,
though,
he wasn't.
Was he? Good
he was,
Lord.
He was a silver rabbit this week, wasn't he?
No, silver hamster.
Yeah.
Is he a charmer? I've not noticed it, to be honest with you.
I think
he's about as charming as Jacob.
He's not a charmer in that he's not hello
he's wet.
Like Brian, but he's not. And it also, I think there is something about vets because it's all about saving the baby animals. Hmm. You know, that is quite attractive.
Oh, this is difficult. We can't really talk to each other. For goodness sake, man.
What do you think he should do? Oh, you said
get out there with
other women.
Well, or not. I mean, that doesn't have to be with other women. But just say, all right, look, I'm here if and when you decide otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, let's forget about it and just get on with his life.
Mm. Yes.
This moping around and pining. Yes. Good Lord.
No, he is behaving. It was like when he first went around the village telling everybody that it was a big secret that he was in love with Denise and he couldn't tell anybody. Which is totally like, you know, it's so adolescent, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's first love.
Yep.
And it's almost like he's never been in love before.
No. How did we get on to Alistair after that?
Because Kate said that Alistair wasn't a silver.
Oh, that's right. No, very much not. Absolutely not. No.
So
I'm a bit confused now. Are we saying that Fallon's pregnant or Alice is pregnant or both?
We're saying that Alice isn't.
Okay.
Because he put his socks by the wood burner,
yeah,
which is that well known.
Yeah. Mm. So she can't be.
She can't be.
Yeah.
Smell of burning wool acts as an anti aphrodisiac.
I've got a headache. Can we just go to sleep?
And yes, carbon monoxide poisoning also works.
Fallon, we think might be.
And Fallon, we think might be because of all the chit chat about A, bringing up the fact that she said she didn't want children, B, the Harrison doing his pretend dad act with Henry, and yes, sort of being the constant reminders of that dialogue and that they had it.
They can't do that, surely. I mean, it's actually, I've seen this a few times recently. Where people who have decided not to have children, or whether they've decided or not, it doesn't really matter. People for whatever reason don't have children have quite a hard time of it. I think quite a lot of the time because
having to explain
or having people think that there's something.
But
funny
the cheek
about
of anybody
or,
to ask.
Oh, no,
possible
exactly.
Business, you know.
I mean, you ask, you know, do you have a family? Just when you're making small talk, and if the answer's no, well, that's the end of that avenue. Exactly, that's the end of that avenue. But for them to take Fallon, who's you know avowedly not interested in having children, for them to, if I can put it this way, to get her pregnant.
Mm.
And then, as you say, for her to go, oh, actually, this is magic, and it's what I wanted all along.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I've got kids, but you know, I don't. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of a storyline like that if I didn't.
I've got one friend who said for many years that she absolutely did not want children, and then suddenly changed her mind on a dime and got pregnant 3 months later.
Yeah.
And I've got one who said from the age of 14, way more than that, people I know thinking about it, who've said from teenagerhood, it's not anything that interests me in the slightest. No. And they do have to answer, you know, frankly, incredibly intrusive questions from people.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, quite why it's such a mis... I mean, don't get me wrong. I, as I said, I have kids. I love my kids more than, literally more than anything. They are, you know, the apple of my eye, the centre of my world and all the rest of it. But I don't have to look too hard at the lifestyles of people who don't have children to see what it was
that first looks nice.
first attracted them to that option, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So the idea that it's, it's somehow a bit weird or...
So you get to make your money and then keep it, do you? Ooh!
Give away on... I mean, those first... Yeah. Oh, God, those first, I don't know, what, eight? Because mine
the
are first two years
30
apart.
30 years are the worst, I think.
Just, you know, never having a meal to yourself. Yeah. Never getting a decent night's kit. Never. Yeah. You go away on a holiday and you're thinking, well, it ain't going to be a holiday for me.
No, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's
soft play centres.
It's overrated. Soft play centres on a Sunday morning. I remember taking the kids to... I gave Steffi a lie-in one Sunday morning, and actually most Sunday mornings, and take the kids out on their bikes, and we went and got ice cream, and then we went to McDonald's, not to have McDonald's, because they've got a little soft play there, you see, and I sat there watching the kids play in the McDonald's soft play, and I was aware of all the sympathetic glances I was getting from people coming in for their lunch at McDonald's on the Sunday. They're, you know, oh, divorced, Dan. Take the kids off to McDonald's. Can't think of anything better to do with them, you know. but that, yeah, the first, yeah, you know, many years were bloody hard work.
Yep.
And in some ways, you know, I wouldn't change it, but but actually, give me a chance, maybe.
This is from Michael Gorman, who says, I am convinced the scriptwriters used AI trained on the works of the late Harold Pinter to create Friday's episode. About 8 minutes of the 13 were dialogue, the rest being seemingly interminable pauses, drinking noises followed by pauses and kissy face noises and audible breathing. The sound effects were distinctly odd on Friday.
Yes.
I think they'd let the work experience run loose, and she just had it ran riot with the sound effects.
Yeah,
yeah.
An editing frenzy.
Yeah, let's have a bit of echo on that. That.
It's a lesson I've learned over the last few years that less generally is more.
Yeah.
That somebody certainly wasn't playing by those rules this week.
No.
Excuse me.
Oh dear, cold's getting worse again. Catherine Shorrock, says,
hello Catherine.
I'm late to the party as always. I listen at work on Tuesday morning, so I'm always behind. I was pondering why, when there was such a huge song and dance about Harrison finding faith and being baptised, that when he was stressed, low and worried, he didn't seek solace at the church. Good point.
That is a very good point.
I'd have thought that at least he'd have discussed his worries with Alan, but no, the finding God storyline seems to be just a quick fling. It hasn't been mentioned since.
No.
Alan wasn't even there for Easter, Catherine, which is somewhat pivotal in the old calendar. So, you know, no wonder Harrison couldn't find him. If God couldn't, Harrison certainly can't. As a farmer, she says, I realise that the Archers has a very fast and loose connection to anything agricultural these days, but no real mention of the lambing season or the fact that it's rained almost continuously for the past 6 months. Crops haven't been sown, and those that were have been decimated. There will be food shortages this year and fodder and bedding shortages for livestock. As for Harry and his habit, I'm involved in the horse world, and believe me, everybody knows everyone, and the thing that horse people like doing best after riding their horses and criticising other horse people is gossip. It is a very small world, and news travels fast. There's not a cat in hell's chance that Alice or Lillian would not have heard rumours. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Take that.
And I totally agree about the lambing. And in fact, it's quite...
They did mention it this week, though.
Did they?
Yeah. Did I imagine the thing with Alistair putting a splint on a, or putting a plaster cast on a lamb?
No, that was Ed and one of the Texels.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And Ed said, it's been a really bad year. Yeah. We've lost a load of lambs. I can't afford to lose another one.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, by the way, that's reminded me of, and it was so obvious when Ed came back with Alistair's coat or scarf or hat or whatever it was he'd left in the... There was only one possible reason for him to be there, and it was for him to drop Alistair in it with Denise.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a... particularly signposted piece of script.
Did you? I don't know. Did you read Kerry Davis on Twitter last week?
I didn't know. No,
because there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, came back into the pub and said, "I've lost a knife." Oh, it's Chris, I think. I've lost a knife. Did I leave it in here? And then someone said, "Oh, was that Chris?" Yes, he was just in looking for the knife. And Twitter immediately went, as it does, and went, knife, who's going to get hold of it? Who's da, 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 da? And Kerry actually had to go on Twitter and go, I just needed to get Chris into the pub. That was all. It's fine. Honestly, calm down. This is not Chekhov's knife, he was going.
So I think the whole lamb thing was just a bit of a ruse,
that was
a
Chekhov's lamb, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Now, last week, Harriet was talking about the North Star pub in, restaurant rather, in
and the dessert trolley.
And the dessert trolley. And we've got somebody who's actually been there.
I don't know. Is this a famous pub? I've never heard of it.
No, but it sounds like the one that Victoria Wood did. Is it on the trolley? Mm-hmm. That's how I sort of picture it.
Okay.
But anyway, I won't read this now because you don't know anything about the hotel. The Harriet does. So I will read it next week.
Oh, yeah, all right. When she's back. Yeah.
But Vicky Horton-Turner still goes to it and it's still the same and they've still got the trolley, she says.
Super. Have they got trifle?
Probably. Church or chapel. Lady Lenska says, I used to listen to the Archers yonks ago and I stopped around the time of Tony and the bull accident. But for some reason unbeknownst to me, I decided to start again. And lo and behold, Pip's now a lesbian and Toby was questioning his manhood. I thought, I wish I could have a time filler, the gap between when I'd stopped and current episodes, as there were so many gaps and I stumbled across your podcast. Oh. I'm now hooked. I've listened to 137 episodes, giggled throughout most of them, and have 58 left until I'm up to date.
Have we really done nearly 200 episodes?
You need some sort of award or some sort of medical help, Lenny.
Anyway. I also find it very hard to imagine that any of those episodes has explained anything that's been going on in the Archers over the last 4 years.
Imagine the massive misapprehensions which Lenny is labouring. I'm sorry, Lenny.
You might want to try and find, just go through the BBC Sounds recaps. You'd do much, much better off and far less misinformed than listening to anything we've got to say about any of this.
And she says, Hats I've Known still kills me.
We haven't had a Hats I've Known for a while.
No, we haven't. Mm. I need to think of something to put that in a sketch again and I can't work out why. Right, now. Now, this is, we haven't
lots
heard...
Lots of emails this week.
We haven't heard from Ryan for a while. Ryan Kelly, who plays Jazza.
Ryan!
And there he is.
There we go. Lucy was just saying to me the other day, is Ryan all right? Because I haven't heard from him for a long time. And I said, no, he drops me a line occasionally. We have a chat occasionally. And I think he's okay. So...
You were right.
It seems he is okay. That's good.
He said, first of all, I want to say, Lucy, I'm loving the diary. Keep it coming, pal.
Woo!
Thank you. Jazza's just called me pal. I know I'm really late to the party, but I've been fascinated to find out a bit about aphantasia.
Oh, yeah.
You know, did you hear the one we talked about that?
No.
You can't. You have no mind's eye.
Oh, yes. No, I did. I remember this. Yeah.
Perhaps it's a wee bit sick of me, but I like knowing that some sighted people don't have a mind's eye either. When I ask someone what he or she is like, I tend to be thinking about personality rather than looks. It's amazing how many sighted people focus on the looks first.
Mm.
But I suppose that's because light travels fastest. I think, though, that people miss out on quite a big part of life by not using the other senses to the fullest extent. The only downside to using all your senses like this, and I'm including the sixth sense as well, is that you very often know how people feel even when they don't want you to. This can sometimes make life a bit uncomfortable.
Yes.
What the Ellie's happening here is still my favourite part of the podcast. Earworms aside, James, you are a bloody marvel. I prefer the version of the jingle with the quacks at the end. Nice one, Matt.
I think at this point we are really just a vehicle for James
Everett's
bits. Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah. Just to finish, I'd like to say that your podcast still makes me laugh a lot. I've had to start listening to it inside, as laughing in my garden at 2 a.m. offends the neighbours. When I start laughing, I don't tend to stop. Jazza, why at Jazza? Ryan, why are you listening at 2 a.m. in your garden?
Well, why not?
Well, yes, because it's cold.
That mind's eye. So I'm inferring from Ryan's email there that he doesn't have a mind's eye.
Well, he can't. Yes. Well, he's got nothing to relate it to.
Exactly. That's. Well, I don't know. Whether that would be necessarily preclude you having. I don't know. It's an interesting topic. Whether the fact that you've never been able to see anything would stop you in being able to imagine what things would look like. I mean, I think that's what Ryan's saying, and I can quite believe that it is that way.
But you've just used the phrase, what things look like, and he's got nothing.
Well, no, I know. I do understand that bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not suggesting that anybody would be able to correctly imagine what things look like, obviously, but whether you could have some sort of picture in your head, or whether that is completely impossible, having never had anything to go on.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought. Mm. Or it's interesting to me.
Because it's what
anyway.
Part of your brain does that
exactly,
sort
yeah.
hook up with?
Yeah.
Hmm.
My guess is, and I think Ryan's kind of said it in his email, is that there's nothing there. There's no visual aspect to it at all.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's always the way.
Hmm. Hmm. Claire Bishop says, listened to your lovely podcast from the start, had to email after I discovered that Brambley Hedge, which my daughter loves, is on Spotify. Settled down to listen to Poppy's Babies at bedtime, only to be lulled to sleep by Harriet's dulcet tones.
Ah.
I didn't quite expect Mr. Apple to sound like Harriet's Jolene, but it gave me a good giggle. Mr. Apple sounded like Jolene. Crikey.
Well, Jolene does have quite a... Yeah, it does have a relatively masculine voice. Yeah, exactly.
More uplifting than the current Alice storyline, anyway. I'm writing pre-Friday episode, but I felt like her drinking was signalled for a while. For example, her bizarre reaction to Lillian and Kate with the doctors. She gets a certain tone in her voice when acting under the influence.
She does.
And I thought I detected it then, could entirely be wrong. Also, why is Helen so bloody mean about her children? Be a bit supportive of their efforts and interests, for goodness sake. Yes.
And it must be deliberate. It's not accidental.
I think it's a defence mechanism, because she knows that, and even more so than a parent under normal circumstances, she would die for her children and has almost done so because she kind of had to step between Rob and Henry.
Yeah.
And she is aware of, she's frightened by how much she loves them, I think. So she's trying to...
Do scriptwriters really go to that level?
I think so.
Are we not just setting up a storyline somewhere, somehow? Or the possibility of a storyline?
No, I think they go to that level.
Really?
Mm.
Good for them.
They've been writing about Helen since she was born. They've been writing about most of these people since they were born. And they know them.
Well, except that they don't, do they? Because the writers change all the time.
But you have a character arc and you have the notes on it are phenomenal. Mm. The notes on the characters are phenomenal.
Yeah. It must be quite daunting for somebody starting writing on The Archers. Because you're looking at a minimum of what, 10 to 12 characters a week, I'd have said.
Mm.
Well, what is the limit? We know what it is, don't we?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Anyway, so let's say 12 characters a week. And you've got to know them inside out, on top of the plot.
Yeah.
In order to be able to do it convincingly.
There's a line in Diary of a Provincial Lady where she goes to her son's... she's describing... She's sat with a load of mothers. The men are drinking port. They've gone up... The ladies have left the table and they're all sort of fixing their hair and things. And she talks about her children and she talks about her son, who is called... Oh, I forget what it's called. Robin. And she said... I refer to Robin as the boy in offhand tone so that they don't think I'm foolish about him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly it. Because she is completely foolish about him. She adores Robin. He's by miles her favourite, and she's potty about him. And I think that's what it is with Helen. She's trying to... She doesn't want to look like... She's trying to appear not a doting mother because she's aware of how she is.
Not doting, but not...
Obsessive.
Yeah, obsessively protective, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Right, now we have a little bit of... I cannot find it.
Thank you, everybody, for your emails. That was lots. Yes. Lots of good emails this week.
Ready? You might have to fill in on this. I don't know which one it is.
Okay.
What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening here?
Yay!
We're the quack quack as well. There we are.
Now, did you listen to last week's?
Yes.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
Okay.
Did I know what it... I never know what it is.
It was Susan and Neil getting a bit fruity.
Oh.
Jeff has blenched, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And he's gone a bit clenchy. Clenchy and blenchy, haven't you? And it was from 2016, because that's what started the whole chili thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Susan has put her and Neil on a health kick. Susan went on a health cleanse and Neil was eating more salads and less pork pies, not by choice. This was all to make them look better for the family photo Susan wanted to have.
I see.
Now, this week's Clippy Clip is... features your least favourite character in his old incarnation, so you can hear what old Tony sounded like.
So pre-Frank Spencer Tony.
Yeah. Ready?
Yep.
Right, that's £7, please, Tony. Don't pull a face. All profits to charity.
No, it's not just her size. Her knee's playing up badly.
Oh, is it still no better?
No. She was meant to be taking time off work today. Yep. Right, there you go.
Oh, lots of change. Perfect.
Yeah, but when I made a delivery this afternoon, there she was, battling on as usual.
Oh, typical Helen.
I do wish she'd look after herself.
Good heavens. What?
Oh, what does he think he's up to?
Evening, Nathan.
A lounge suit with an orange Hawaiian shirt. It should be illegal.
You must think he's in that film. What was it? Ocean's 11.
Very low rent version.
Yeah.
Lillian!
Hi, Eddie. Look, thanks for this, Tony. I better see what he wants. Are you going to spend the whole evening tucked away in the alcove?
No, but this is important. Do you trust me enough to do me a real good turn? No questions asked.
Eddie, how long have we known each other?
That's what I thought.
You must realise I don't trust you an inch by now.
Oh.
So what can I do for you, darling?
Oh, that was nice.
Who was that? Who was that? Was it? It sounded like... Jimus wearing a Hawaiian shirt with a lounge suit.
Must have been Eddie.
It sounded like someone else. Okay, maybe not. It didn't sound like him at all. Anyway, so
Tony sounded like an older Frank Spencer.
Yeah. But it's interesting that they all have the same noise. Yeah. And did you hear Caroline?
With Lillian?
Yeah.
No, well, I did. I didn't know who
that was. That was Caroline. She started off as... she started off as Caroline Bone. Then she became Caroline something else. And then she was Caroline Sterling, Oliver's wife.
Right.
And she died years ago.
Spoiler alert. Thanks, Luce. Wow.
But I can't remember what... I don't know. I have no idea what that was about. They were clearly in the bull. I don't know what Eddie wanted
with his lounge suit
to do. And I don't know why he was wearing that either.
I mean, it must have been him wearing that, because otherwise they wouldn't... If somebody just walked in wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a lounge suit, they wouldn't then cut to Lillian and Eddie talking about something else, would they? It must have been him, surely.
It just didn't sound like him. It sounded like Jimus.
It sounded like Eddie to me. I mean, the fact that Lillian was saying Eddie to him was a big clue.
No, I know that. But I meant when he came in and said hello, that voice didn't sound like Eddie's.
No, it didn't. You're right.
No. Yes.
I wouldn't have recognised it as Eddie at that point.
Right. Shall we now, as you are now at the blowing your nose stage, which means that you would do another limb sip, shall we now go to the sketch?
Yes.
Which largely consists of Horribins and Brian Sewell.
Brian Sewell, yes.
Reasons best known.
And some soup.
And some soup.
Good evening, sir. I hope you're enjoying the Newgate Grables experience.
Well, it's certainly an experience, yes. Who is that young man who seems to just be constantly going up and down in the lift?
That's my brother. Oh, hang on. Brad? Brad! Manor wants to know what you're doing messing about in the lift. Have you? Do you need scissors? Oh, he's gone again. He said he's got his little bellboy waistcoat caught in the mechanism and he's at the mercy of whoever digs, basically. Up and down all day, he's been.
Well, let's not worry about Brad, was it?
Nah, let's not. Chef Ian sent me out to check that I got it right and that you were on your own. I said you were. Probably didn't have any friends or a date and that, but Chef Ian said you might be a critic.
That would be telling, wouldn't it?
Ah, well, don't worry. Brad didn't have any friends for ages, but now he's got Mia and they're at it like knives. Right, hang on. I'll go and get your starter.
Ah, Brad. How goes it? No, there he goes again.
Here we are. This is... oh God, I know this one. This is a quail ravioli and a mushroom jus with a pickled walnut. Just one pickled walnut. That's well tight, isn't it? Rested on a bed of crispy potato. There it is, rested there. Looks like it's nodded off to me.
Yes, it does look somewhat tired.
Like me, knackered I am. Just to confirm, who is having the soup?
What?
Just to confirm, who is having the soup?
No one. You know what I'm having, you've just brought it to me.
Oh yeah, well they told me I had to say that though.
But surely only if someone is actually having the soup.
They didn't specify, and I didn't understand why I need to know anyway.
So you can bring them a spoon? Presumably.
Oh, right, that makes sense. You should have a spoon for that mushroom jus, though. That's lush.
Ah, you do a tasting in the evening briefing, do you?
What? No, I got some on my thumb when I came through the swing doors. Licked it all off before I got you, though.
Oh, God. Well, even if I wanted to eat this now that I know you've basically licked it, I won't. Because it's probably cold.
Wouldn't be surprised. It was sitting on the side for ages before I realised it was ready. You can have the walnut, though, if you're desperate.
I'm really not. But do you think you could bring me one of the other starters? I really do need to try at least one for my review, but without any thumbs or spit.
So you are a critic! Oh, sorry, I thought you was a sad sack. I feel bad now. I put Billy No Mates instead of a table number on your order. What do you fancy instead of the ravioli then? How about a scallop mousse?
Fine. Keep your thumbs out this time.
You're the boss. Hiya, Brad. Okie dokie, so one scallop mousse. And as you're like a VIP in that, how do you feel about a haircut with your mates?
Very, very good, wasn't it?
Very, very, very good.
Some very talented people involved
there
in all
are.
Of that.
Now, this week's sign-off music, courtesy of Mr. Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard this yet.
No. He said, this week's offering is a Blue Peter version.
Oh, I loved Blue Peter.
With a possible and very tenuous link to Henry's cooking at school. And how Blue Peter encouraged all things creative, that bloody Advent triangle. That's all I can remember. However, having been a boy myself, I'd sooner swallow hemlock than sample a dish that's been created by an adolescent, knowing full well where those hands have been and how very unlikely to have been washed since breakfast. Alex, my wife, is a primary school teacher and would concur.
Yes.
Yes.
Washed since breakfast in 2021.
Yes. Yes. It's just that being carried around in schools are always so hot.
I once brought mushrooms home from school. I think it was from a sort of nature studies class or something. We went out and picked mushrooms and I put them into a poly bag and put them into my school bag and took them home where they lay undiscovered for about 6 weeks. The smell, I can still smell it now, of those rotting mushrooms in my bag. Because once they were still
boys
in the polythene...
Boys' bags tend to be somewhat fungal, as
they
it is.
Still, but... Once they were still in the polythene, it was okay. But then found the bag and took it out and opened the bag. Good Lord, how I can still smell anything now is beyond me, because I very nearly cauterised my own nostrils with it. Vaulting.
Did you ever make any of the things on Blue Peter?
No. God, no.
No.
And I was never encouraged to be... arty crafty in any way.
No. I was always in awe of the people that had their paintings on the gallery, the Take Heart gallery.
Take Heart,
as well.
Yeah.
They were incredible.
Yeah, a lot of them were.
Me and my mum and my
there
sister.
Was some, there was some crap in there as well.
Me and my mum and my sister would sit there watching that going, he never did that. No. And it said, James Robertson, 8. And you think,
age 3.
Sod off. Yeah. He's just done a massive drawing of a 3D sculpture of a German shepherd. Of course it wasn't him.
Michelangelo himself would have been pleased with that. And certainly not Billy Smith, aged 4. Do me a favour.
Right, so we'll say goodbye. So Jeffy can go back to bed, blowing his nose repeatedly. Harriet can continue wondering what she's done with the kettle and where everybody's homework is. And
what was it you lost when you moved here?
The drill.
Was it the drill?
The drill, the one thing that would have been
the one thing that we really needed to do everything else. Yes, was the drill indeed. Yeah.
But it was then the fact that we had lost the drill that meant that we met two of the people in the village who knew absolutely everybody.
And had a very
good
drill.
Lent us a drill, and then we met loads of other people because of that.
They did, that's right.
And then I found the drill.
Serendipity.
In the bottom drawer of a chest of drawers, didn't I?
Serendipity drill.
Because I was wondering why the bloody hell a completely empty chest of drawers weighed quite so much, and then I discovered an entire drill set at the bottom of it. Anyway, enough of this domestic rubbish. We will now go out with Blue Peter, courtesy of Matt Rodriguez Payne. And also, thank you very much, James, for the clippy clips, because everybody loves them, including Jazza. Yes. Right. Are we ready?
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.